Hello and welcome. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And together we form
the Experience Grind Podcast.
The podcast where, for better or worse, good or bad, we grind out every experience we encounter and give our honest opinions on those experiences. We're very excited to be with you here today. We got some sponsorships we want to get out of the way real quick here first. We have an actual sponsor. We're putting on some big boy pants here.
Mm-hmm.
We have talked about them very much, and we are honest. We do drink mm-hmm. this every episode.
We do.
We enjoy a bottle. One an episode. It helps with the communication, the talking. And this week, again, it is also, for real, Andre California Champagne. It's very nice, very smooth champagne. I think we're drinking the Brut variety this time.
Yes.
It just goes very well with everything. And
I find it very easy to drink.
I do too, man. It goes well.
And it's the perfect buzz for talking. You don't get slurry. You don't get, like, sleepy or tired. It's perfect.
And we drank it last night during the party we had for this episode we're about to talk about, which is Rock Band 3.
Yep.
We'll go ahead and get that out of the way, get that intro.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a party last night where we played Rock Band 3, mm-hmm. and we definitely had Andre there because they do sponsor us.
Yeah.
And in that note, I think everybody at that party last night kept it epic with Andre.
Yes, hashtag epic with Andre.
We have started 2016, and we are keeping it epic with Andre. So,
and we encourage our listeners to keep it epic with Andre,
yeah,
too.
If you're looking for a good time, something fancy, but not something that's going to break the bank, get up with Andre California Champagne and keep it epic with Andre.
Ding!
Oh, yeah. There we go. So, sponsorship. There we go. Hope you guys at Andre enjoy that. Talk to us. Thank you guys for everything you've done so far. Hopefully, a little more. But anyways, let's continue on. And we had some big news this week.
We did. Two fantastic trailers.
Yeah. One I'm much more excited about, but I'm also a little reserved, and I'll actually get into that.
But let's
talk about yours first.
So the one I'm very excited about is Hail Caesar.
Yes.
Which is the new Coen Brothers movie starring George Clooney, Channing Tatum, Scarlett Johansson, Ralph Fiennes. It's like John Goodman, I think. No, maybe not. Confused with Cloverfield.
He's in a lot of Coens.
He could be. Jonah Hill. Everybody. Just everybody on this sun is working.
I tell you, that George Clooney is smooth. Smooth like a bottle of Andre California champagne.
Nice. You just kept it epic.
Ooh. Ooh, yeah. So, yeah, it's a new Coen Brothers film, and in keeping with their tradition, mm-hmm. they always do a serious and then a sort of comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
They go back and forth. I guess it's more of a palate cleanse, I think, for themselves.
Maybe for themselves, which is good. I like that. Like, you can't look at a Coen Brothers movie and be like, well, they're all like Fargo. They're all, like, kind of funny and dark.
Yeah.
Well, no, they're very different, which I kind of enjoy. But is this is their first new one since, was it True Grit was the last Coen Brothers film that has come out?
No, they had the, and I didn't see it and I hate myself for it. They had the movie about the folk singer.
Oh, Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yes, Llewellyn Davis.
I did see that one. I forgot that was them.
I have not seen it yet either, unfortunately. I've heard nothing but good stuff about it.
Good.
Yeah.
It's good. I don't love it. It's not one I love, but it's good. And it's another great Oscar Isaac performance, which you'll hear a lot on this podcast because I love Oscar Isaac.
I'm fully formed into the church of Oscar Isaac. I fucking love this guy.
Come worship at his pew.
I will, gladly. That dude is fucking killing it. I watch Ex Machina again, man, and goddamn,
you did.
I fucking love that dude in that movie.
His performance is fantastic. Like, I love what he's doing.
That dance scene
is my favorite scene of the year,
and it, like, it can be seen so many ways. But, like, both times I've seen it, it's legitimately creepy to me.
Yes,
it's fucking unnerving and unsettling. Man, it's perfect. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. great. It's fucking great. But it's so well choreographed. His little man. Good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you watched that again.
Yeah.
So, Hail Caesar. It looks like, as you said, it's one of the Coen Brothers comedies. And I'm much more in tuned to the comedies. I love their comedic work. And I also love their non-comedic work. I love their serious stuff. But I gravitate more towards the comedic.
And I'm just the opposite. I like their comedic stuff a lot, fairly well. I really enjoy their more serious things they put out. It was very close on the list. I fucking love No Country for Old Men.
Yeah.
And maybe it should be on the list, rethinking my list, which I do a lot. Another one I honestly wished I would have put on there recently was the movie I'll talk about in a bit.
Ooh.
Because, man,
that's surprising.
I watched it again recently, too, and I think it holds up fantastically.
I think it's still really good.
But anyway, I don't want to degrade this. Hail Caesar, it's like a 50s crime caper sort of thing is what I'm getting.
Yeah, an actor goes missing and held for ransom for a Hollywood studio in the 50s. So it's all this period piece, which I really like. Anytime.
The Coens do period very well.
Yes. Have you seen the Hudsucker Proxy?
Oh, yes. Hudsucker. I've seen Barton Fink.
Barton Fink's good.
It's another... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, Brother is their other period film. That's
goodness
amazing.
Gracious, yes.
Which is also, I think, more comedic.
It's very comedic.
Right? I would count that as one of the comedies, right?
Yeah, I would too. But it's also, you know, thinking that's one of my favorite Coens.
It's a fantastic one.
It's almost, you know, it's hard to throw around the phrase, but I would say that's almost the perfect movie.
I think that might be one of my mother-in-law's favorites.
I would love to do that.
Oh, Brother.
Yeah, well, I'd love to get into that again. So,
yeah.
Not your mother-in-law.
Your
mother-in-law's movie. I said I would love to get into that again.
You don't want
to
get into my mother-in-law.
No, not again.
Hopefully she's not listening. Yes. alienate our sponsor. Now families, what else do we have? What else can we alienate?
I mean, if I wanted to be a dick, we could alienate the sound guy, but I don't want to do that. I love the sound guy. He's my favorite thing in the world.
On a scale from 1 to 10?
He's a 12.
I give Andy a 92.
Oh! Wow. That was a pregnant pause. I didn't know what was going to happen there.
I really had a fight with myself on what to say.
I was on the edge of my seat with worry there. I didn't know what was happening. But yeah, that was good.
Everybody's looking at their iPhones and iPods right now to see if the podcast just stopped during that pause. Like, did it stop? What happened?
You know, you and I have spent the last 2 days together and the last 2 days with sound engineer Andy.
We have.
And I had a fucking blast, man.
We had a great time.
Yeah, I'm not sick of you guys at all. I'd spend the next 2 days with you guys, too. Fuck it.
Yeah.
It'd be a blast. Yeah. We'd drink beers. We'd drink Andre. We would keep that shit epic.
It's a very nonchalant response from our sound engineer. Just a little shrug and okay.
That's what I would expect. But bringing it back to the Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar.
It looks enjoyable. What has me intrigued about it and what I think I will like about it compared to some of the other more comedic efforts, it does also seem to be more of a whodunit.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could be multiple parties playing towards this, like maybe the studio had him kidnapped himself because he's a terrible actor, which I love any movie where a good actor can portray a bad actor, and George Clooney's doing that in this, because in the scenes where he's shooting the movie, he's fucking terrible, and I love that.
Yeah,
I love when people are good enough actors to be able to do that, and convincingly.
And that's the thing, is convincingly.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of yuck performances by good actors pretending to be bad, and you can see right through it.
Exactly.
This is not that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or it doesn't seem to be from the trailer.
Precisely. You know, we can't totally judge it.
It might be
so
bad
far
in the movie, but it looks good in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's really, there's not much to go off of there. The humor looks really funny. The newest one has like a 30-second intro between Ralph Fiennes, some director, and a country guy trying to say, like, would it tour so simple, or I can't think of the phrase.
I haven't seen it, so I don't know what you're referencing.
It's a very quick British phrase that this very southern country gentleman actor is trying to say, and he is having the roughest time.
That's,
and it's
awesome.
This 30-second back and forth between these two, and this guy is just not getting it. And then they cut to, like, the final shot in the movie. It's him saying a completely different line.
Awesome.
And then they show Ralph Fiennes just, like, pissed in the director's chair. Which is like, I get it. That humor, it works.
Awesome.
I'm in. So, the other trailer that came out this week, which was a huge surprise.
Came out of left field.
Yeah, do you want to set up the backstory to this and how it, just everything about this crazy trailer?
Well, it's for what we are all assuming, and by we, I'm referencing us in the serious depths of the fandom, are referring to an actual bona fide Cloverfield sequel.
Yeah.
It's called 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Mm-hmm.
It stars, it's Mary something. Is it Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
Nope, because something? That's the waitress from Always Sunny, and that's what I was going to say. It is.
It's the chick from Scott Pilgrim.
I'm so mad at myself. It is Mary Elizabeth Winstead. No, it's not.
I think it is. It's Ramona Flowers.
It's Ramona Flowers. No, I'm mad at myself.
And John Goodman. I think it is.
Let's just say Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I think it is.
If we're wrong, call us the fuck out. Please do, because
John Goodman And then the other guy.
I don't know him.
John Garcia Jr., I think is his name. I could be wrong on that, but he was in Short Term 12, which came out 2 years ago and would have been my movie of that year. Like,
really?
I fucking love that movie. And
I've
this
not
guy.
Even heard of it.
We'll have to watch it later.
Yeah, yeah.
But this guy did a fantastic job and he's done nothing else.
Okay.
He was able to bring so much emotion to a
really?
Part that had almost none. Like, oh. You didn't have to bring that there, and he did. So I'm very excited to see what he does. Fantastic cast.
So this movie has come out of left field. It's coming out in 2 months.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
And then it
did the Fallout 4.
Yeah, it was attached, I guess, to 13 Hours, which is the Benghazi butt fest
ooh.
That Michael Bay directed. And I was just on Reddit 2 days ago, and somebody was like, hey, so I went to see this movie, and holy shit, there's a Cloverfield trailer at the beginning of it. And us in that section of the internet
mm-hmm.
collectively blew our minds. I'm a massive fan of Cloverfield. It is my absolute favorite monster movie.
It is one of mine. It might be mine. I'd have to do some thinking, but I love Cloverfield.
Yeah, it definitely is mine, and it was directed mm-hmm. by Mr. J.J. Abrams. It was not. No, he wrote it and produced.
Yeah, wrote and produced. It was Matt Reeves who did Cabin in the Woods.
You're correct.
And the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Apes on Horses.
I liked Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Wait, me was too. It? Or yes, no.
The ones where they're on
it's
horses.
It's the second
was,
one where they were riding horses.
That was Rise.
Rise, and that yeah. naming system is so bad.
Yeah. Which was also a good movie.
I like both of them.
Yeah,
I think they're both great. Yeah,
but 10 Cloverfield Lane, the trailer, which I can tell you I have been involved in all kinds of internet circles that has broken down every single frame of this trailer, because there was a massive alternate reality game mm-hmm. leading up to the release of the original Cloverfield.
I remember getting heavily involved in it.
I was too. It was shrouded in mystery, and for a while it seemed like this one didn't have that, but it now seems that there is something going on.
Really?
And part of it is leading to the soda pop in the trailer. It's this actual company out of Louisiana called Swamp Pop. And before this trailer had come out, it was just it was an actual company. They have sold pop for a long time. But after the trailer, there is now a new item in the store that is completely sold out. It is $4,000, and it is a 15-year emergency supply of Swamp Pop. One that you would maybe get if you were going to put it in, say, your underground bunker.
A bomb shelter or something.
Yeah, for, you know, prepper.
Huh.
So now, and people are contacting the company, and I've seen some of the responses they're getting, and they're a bit cryptic. And people are still trying to figure out if this is tied in and if there's something going on here.
It's a real company or not.
It is a real company, but
for
they could,
sure.
Yeah, because they have been established for many years before this.
Huh.
But they could be involved in playing along at this point.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, but here is my concern.
Go with it, and I have concerns too.
Well, I guess this movie was not originally called 10 Cloverfield Lane.
It's called The Shelter, right?
The Cellar.
The Cellar, that's right.
It was shot 2 years ago in 2014
mm-hmm.
and has now, I guess, had some script rewrites and some reshoots and is now officially tied into Cloverfield in some way.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know, but we don't know how because we haven't seen it, but this is according to things that J.J. Abrams himself has said
mm-hmm.
and come out to clarify. But I don't know. A lot of people are now worried that they've tacked on stuff to make a somewhat unreasonable, unsellable movie.
Yeah, it seems like it might have been like, hey, there's a whole movie, and then that shot at the end where she's coming out of the shelter and she looks and she gasps. I was like, that might be the end of this movie.
I hope
and then
not.
They just tacked on like a Cloverfield monster or something in the background that she sees.
People don't think that. Some of the people are thinking that's more of the first half of the movie.
I hope.
Yeah, where she tries to get away and then sees that and then realizes that she can't
mm-hmm.
because of whatever is outside there. The thing with Cloverfield fans is that we're a very ravenous fan base.
Any devoted fan.
Yeah.
You can say that about any kind
you know,
of fanship.
But it's crazy coming, you know, there's only one movie in this series, but it's so beloved by the people that do love it. And I think a big
think
part
that
of that
ARG was a big part.
I do think that was a big part of it. It really tied and made the movie a lot more personable for us that did follow all of that. So, but I don't see J.J. Abrams, especially just coming off The Force Awakens, just sort of slapping his name on something to make a quick buck. And I hope that's not the case here with this movie.
Yeah, I hope it's not the case either. I think there might be some evidence to the contrary. His name, Bad Robot Pictures, they also did like Morning Glory or Morning Story. the Rachel McAdams, Harrison Ford, newsacre rom-com that felt like garbage, and it felt like there was no reason Bad Robot should have been attached. So I've seen them do that before, the studio.
Yeah, but they didn't slap the Cloverfield name on that.
I think it might be a marketing ploy, especially because Force Awakens was such a big hit. Now they're like, well, no, they would have to have worked on it before, but maybe they were planning. It's like, well, Force Awakens comes out, and then we do Cloverfield to write off that because everybody's high on JJ. Let's watch two JJ movies.
It could absolutely possibly be that. I really hope it's not.
I hope it's not.
It's going to taint Force Awakens too.
Also, if they do that, then I think it taints this marketing strategy, which is release a trailer. You have no idea about this movie. It comes out in 2 months.
Yeah.
If it's good, if it makes money, this could be a game changer. And this is what I would rather have. Like, as much as, like, I'm a Marvel fan and love hearing things, like, I don't need to know that there's going to be an Inhumans movie in 5 years that may or may not come out. And I don't want to be, like, drip fed, like, all this tiny, like, here's a shot of Captain America's shield. Here's a shot of the new Iron Man armor. Here's a shot of this. Here's a street shot of Benedict Cumberbatch who hasn't shaved. Is he Doctor Strange? We don't know. You judge. Like, I don't like that. I like this. I know nothing about this except for who's in it. It's a Cloverfield movie.
Yeah.
I'm gonna see it.
Oh, I am too. I think we'll both be there opening night.
Yeah, so I don't want to know anything else. Like, I want to go in and hopefully be surprised like it was the first Cloverfield. Because there was the first one, even though they had the reality game, there was so much mystery. You didn't know what was going to happen.
You didn't know what the monster looked like.
Yeah, that's right. Nature. You didn't know. Mm-hmm. So I hope it works because of that very reason.
I'm curious to see what is tied into it. I want to know. I mean, I'm so willing to give it a chance because, again, I love Cloverfield. It's such a cool, unique movie.
Yeah.
And such a cool, unique universe and the way things happened. And I hope that this one is leading. I hope there's an ARG, man. I fucking love ARGs. And there hasn't been a good one in a long time. The last one I got really involved in was it was 3 Nine Inch Nail albums ago.
There was a giant
ARG for that.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Year Zero?
Yep.
Dude, that was so fucking good.
I did not partake in it, but I knew about it.
I partook in a lot of it. I followed it every day, like all the updates. It was a good one. It was a fun one. I liked the Halo 2 I Love Bees one.
I Love Bees. Yeah.
That was a really good ARG. Their last one they did was pretty terrible.
Yeah, I went off the grid and did like some weird ones that weren't tied to like big things. And then you get to weird, sketchy stuff that's not always great and it's always well thought out. But I find them fascinating too, and you just don't see them anymore, which is sad. But one thing about this new Cloverfield trailer is I noticed who the director was, which is very interesting to me because did you ever watch or listen to the podcast The Totally Rad Show?
No, I did not.
Do you know about it?
Mm-mm. Not familiar with it.
So the Totally Rad Show is it had like three hosts, Alex Albrecht, Jeff Cannata, and Dan Trachtenberg. And Dan Trachtenberg went on to do a lot of short films. Like he did a 5-minute Portal short film, which had like a girl escaping a prison cell with like the portal gun, the After Science.
Yeah.
Portal gun. And I guess that was good enough that it landed him this job. This is his first feature film.
Well, good for him.
So this guy who I followed, like, in his very first one was Geekdrome, was his first podcast. The first podcast I ever listened to. Like, they had Kevin Smith on, like, one of their podcasts.
Really? Wow.
We're able to talk to him. And it's been, it's really, like, fucking surreal. Like, I was, like, listening to this guy's podcast when I was 12 and he was, like, 21. And now he's directing a fucking Cloverfield sequel. It's pretty crazy. So I'm excited just to see, like, what he can do.
My other concern is that I guess this movie had an entire budget of $5 million, which is...
Originally.
Yeah. So, and they haven't released what's been added.
It is. I saw a number. It's 100 million.
They've added now. 100 million?
95 million they added. It's a total budget of 100 million now.
So how much fucking reshoot did they do?
It's all effects, which I'm hoping it's not the case, but I think it's going to be like, you get out and then there's like a bunch of shit happening. And then like, that's the movie is she realizes she was wrong and that's it. It's done.
But see, you don't spend $95 million on the last 5 minutes of an effect shot. There's got to be a lot more going on.
Maybe. I hope that's the case then.
I don't see, dude, if you spent $95 million on like the last 5 minutes, that's holy fuck. Well, something's wrong there.
Oh man, we could get into budgets, but the Ridiculous Six, the straight to Netflix Adam Sandler Western movie, cost like $80 million. And it's all like Adam Sandler's pals who I guarantee you don't command a high salary. Like David Spade is not getting paid a lot of money.
I bet you he made a pretty good paycheck, like 5 to 10.
Oh, that hurts.
Why?
That hurts because that's just not earned.
Yeah, well, but I mean, that's... Dude, Adam Sandler is famous for casting. Like, there's so many people that wouldn't have careers if it wasn't for Adam Sandler. And it's got... I guess it's got fucking...
Who wouldn't have a career without Adam Sandler? Like Kevin James?
Rob Schneider?
I'm okay with all of them not having
careers. Yeah, exactly. But I'm saying people see those fucking movies. You and I don't.
That's true. Yeah.
But other fucking people do.
It doesn't mean I'm not going to wag my finger at them and scoff.
Wag the fuck away. I will too. But fuck, man, it's the nature of the beast.
I had a point and it got lost in that vendetta and rage against...
I'm really excited.
Adam Sandler's now output, because I've seen the good he can do, and now it's just poops.
I'm really excited John Goodman's in this. I love John Goodman.
Oh, yeah, me too.
He does so much good stuff. Even, like, in little things that he's... Dude, he's just such a good actor. And
Yeah. He can do comedic, straight, serious, like anything.
I've seen people thinking, you know, that John Goodman's the bad guy and the monster in this. I hope that's not the case.
That's why I don't read the internet too much, because I hear people like, that's a great trailer because it made you think like, maybe John Goodman's a monster. That's really deep insight, you. Yeah,
fuck
like,
man.
Did you take your college film 101 class today and you just now got a thought in your brain? Like, come on.
I don't do it a lot. I do it for Cloverfield.
Yeah.
I'm subscribed to the Cloverfield subreddit now.
Yeah.
I'm following that. I've logged back into my super dormant something awful account just to follow it there.
Wow.
Because that's where I followed all my original ARGs, was on something awful,
huh?
So.
Okay. Well, now I've guessed that.
So that's what we've talked about.
Those are the big things this week.
Mm-hmm. And now we'll get into what we did last night.
What did we do last night?
We played Rock Band 3 for 4 hours?
About 4 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
4 hours.
Not fully, because we were rotating out. We didn't play everything.
Yeah. It wasn't just you and I. We had a nice group about a dozen.
Roughly. It was a good rotating crew of people.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of fun, man.
Oh, good. I did too.
I actually had a whole lot of fun, and I want to do it again.
Oh, God. Yeah, me too.
My one complaint, and it has nothing to do with anything, the fucking lag configuration.
That, yeah.
Giving us fits all night. I was really pissed that why the fuck was the manual not working?
I guess I'll give a little background. So to play these games, you are essentially hitting notes as they come down, and you have to strum on a guitar or hit a drum as like the note comes down. So it really judges you on your rhythm and your accuracy when you hit it. So sometimes these newer TVs, they have a different frequency in which the video comes out. It might come out slower, it might come out a little bit faster. So you have to calibrate the Xbox every time you go to a new TV. And last night, we had so much fucking trouble, which is very new to me.
You've never had that issue before?
I've brought this around on probably 5, maybe 6 different TVs, and I've never had this issue.
All right, now before you go just a bit further, on all those, do they have surround sound or sound bars too?
My TV has a sound bar, like we did on a system through surround sound. We did on ones without surround sound.
Never the issue that we had last night.
Never the issue we had last night. Which was literally, like, as you said, like, there's a way you can hold up the guitar, which is a really neat thing.
That's the automatic
calibration. Yeah, it's an automatic calibration, which it'll sense the light flashing off, and you don't have to do any work.
Yeah.
Didn't work. So we were like, well, fuck it. We have manual. We can just do it by what we hear. It was just saying, like, can't complete at this time.
Would not calibrate.
And which makes no fucking sense.
Exactly.
Because you are inputting it.
Yeah, I'm inputting it. I'm watching the screen. I'm pressing the button. What the fuck are you telling me is wrong? I take what I'm giving you.
Agreed. So you said we played for 4 hours. I'd say there might be an hour in there. We were fucking around with calibration.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that was a big disappointment.
Another thing I noticed too was that as we would continue to play, there would be drift, and what was normally roughly calibrated would drift to be out of calibration, and we would have to stop and recalibrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, it was infuriating to me as... Dude, I've played drums for over 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
To not be able to play the drum set that it was set up, like, because hearing what the music is telling me to be playing and then having it not sync up to what the video is showing me was infuriating, and getting these incredibly low scores drove me nuts, because I'm like, dude, I'm fucking doing what I'm hearing. Why are you... That part drove me nuts. And I don't want to shit on the game.
Oh, no,
for
that's
that.
Fine.
Like, I don't think it was the game's fault. I don't know if it was maybe the style of TV.
Yeah.
Because it was a brand new TV. I know that just came out this year.
Oh, really?
Because he just bought that this year. And then we had it at my buddy's house, so.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a new, completely new thing to us, but when it was working, even when it wasn't fully working, dude, I was having a fucking good time.
Yeah, I felt like it's because I'll give you credit, and granted, I am nowhere near as talented as you are, but like when I was playing guitars or singing, like I kind of knew it was like a little bit off, but like I was able to get back up, and then I saw you having drum problems, and then I was listening, and I was like, no, I'm hearing your beat, like you're fucking on. Like,
yeah.
I knew it too, and then I was like, oh, let me sit in that drum seat, and it was fucking off.
So
it was
off.
Really off. So,
and I'll give you know, dude, you had a lot of Andre last night.
A little bit, quite a bit.
But you were as inebriated as I saw you.
Mm-hmm.
You were fucking murdering that game, dude. I was blown away.
Yeah,
you were playing on hard and expert and getting like 95%, and you were.
I was really drunk.
Yes,
I was gone.
One of the worst at the party. Not.
Yeah,
you were pretty hammered last night, and you were fucking destroying that
Let's
game,
say,
dude.
I was also responsible, and I had my wife drive me home.
Yes, you did.
I did not
Absolutely.
Drive. Keep it epic. Never drive when you're drinking.
Keep it epic, but keep it safe.
And keep it safe.
Yeah.
There you go.
But man, I was blown away at that. Like,
yeah,
thank you. I don't like to get beyond medium, if I'm being honest, because, and you know, it was really giving me fits last night because with the different lag calibrations, I have difficulty going down to the orange and adding in that fifth button and coming back up. I like when I'm staying on the four that I know because I like to get into it. I like to get my head going. I like to dance around, as you saw.
Yeah.
I think the highlight of the evening.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Was the fact that you also had three microphones.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were many times we had three people belting out and just, it was like a big flashy karaoke.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, that was my most fun of the evening was when I was singing, we sang a couple of No Doubt songs.
Yeah, that's a highlight for me was Just a Girl.
Yeah.
It was me, you, and Michelle.
Yeah, dude, we were killing that. It was a blast.
Yeah, I thought it was terrific. One of my big guilty pleasures is karaoke. Like, make no mistake, when I lived in Korea for 2 years, like, I went to the Noribongs, the sing houses, like, every night.
Really?
With Laura. Okay. Like, that's something we did very frequently. We would drink and go sing, because it's kind of... I love it. I think it's kind of fun.
I'm not a big
bad
karaoke.
At it, whatever, but I love doing it.
I'm not a big karaoke guy. I've done it a couple times. I have fun with it. I had a blast last night, though, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You get... Well, that's the thing with Rock Band, too. It's like, you don't feel stupid, because there are eight other people there playing with you on, like, little fake drums and plastic guitars.
Exactly.
You
yeah.
never feel stupid, because everybody's looking stupid.
Yeah, but everybody's... as long as you're not being overly sensitive and serious, you're having fun, and so is everybody. You're letting go, letting that hair down.
Yeah, and Rock Band, the thing I like is they have like great songs, like they have Stairway to Heaven if you want. Oh, they have like all these classics.
Freebird,
right?
I saw Freebird. Yeah. Thankfully, nobody fucking played it.
But they also have like shit songs that are just dumb and fun. Like Smash Mouth came up last night, and Lit, My Own Worst Enemy. Like those are songs that are kind of hilarious to play, and like they're good for parties.
Yeah,
because
they're so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and people have fun with them. I would really love to do this again. I think we should. I told you we had multiple requests for more podcast parties.
Yeah, which I think is something we'll have to do.
Absolutely. People really enjoyed what we were doing last night.
Mm-hmm.
People were able to let go. You know, I had some people that you hadn't met come over. One of my bandmates and his wife came over. They had a fucking great time.
Both really cool people.
Yeah, and she was fucking into it hard.
That was my favorite thing of last night, is as we were leaving, she was talking about it, and she was saying something effective like, yeah, my family does Rock Band too, and like we just get together and play Rock Band. So I heard party and I was like, okay, and then I heard Rock Band party and I was like, oh yes, I'm going to that. And I was like, awesome, there's one other person who loves Rock Band as much. But she was singing and she was doing an incredible job, and so was her husband.
Yeah.
He was also doing fantastic.
And, you know, I
was
talked to him.
I was the smuck in falsetto, not trying.
He sang a lot with us. Talking to him later, he has the same issue I have on first-person shooters.
What's
and
that?
The fact, well, some of them make me very sick to play. And he has that issue with Rock Band, watching the scrolling.
Oh,
he doesn't do the instruments, but the singing, because of the, it's like, it's a completely
it's
different,
static,
separate thing.
A
he
little
could,
bit.
He could focus on that. And he was, dude, he sang like a lot of stuff with us last night.
Yeah,
he
did.
Was having fun.
Yeah.
I was amazed at, you know, the thing I like about Rock Band, and I noticed it last night, is that unlike almost any other game, anybody can play it, man. Mm-hmm. And especially once we were on the no-fail mode, so nobody's going to hold anybody back, which was my big issue with Rock Band 2. Or, I'm sorry, Guitar Hero 2. Because I used to take that to a lot of parties and play, but that didn't have a no-fail mode, so if somebody was sucking real bad, it'll stop the song after a point, and it was really disheartening at parties, because then those people didn't want to play, because it's like, well, it's going to stop, and we're not going to get through it, no-fail mode is a fucking genius thing for this series.
It is. It's a great thing. I don't know if it alleviates all of that. I feel like I heard maybe our sound editor over there play drums once and then like got a low score. He was like, why did I even try? I'm done. I'm going to walk away. And then like, sure enough, like 10 minutes later, he's back on the drums.
He came back. Yeah, he came back. He was playing drums. He was playing guitar. What I really liked, I had never seen it before and I had no idea that, but you had the pro instruments.
I did,
which I had never been exposed to. I love that the bass guitar was set up like a real bass. It had two individual triggers and the thumb rest, so you could play it with your two fingers.
Like you're plucking it.
Oh my god, that was such a cool thing. Mm-hmm. I played more bass than anything just because I like to mess with that.
Yeah, it's a neat thing. I bought it like long after I've gotten the strum sound, so I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do that worth a damn.
Yeah.
So I think it's a very fascinating thing. I'm like, oh, I'll bring that to the party. I'll let somebody else be that. It's Give cool. me that regular guitar.
I like that the pro drums have the cymbals. Mm-hmm. I wished, again, if they'd have been calibrated, I'd have been so much more all over that shit.
You were doing awesome. Like I said, I was hearing the beats. Like, you were hitting the kick at the exact right time it needed to. And, like, you had the rhythm down. It just, the TV was working against you.
What I liked, I've played the original Rock Band, and I hated that fucking bass drum pedal. The pro pedal.
It's plastic. It was like a plastic, really something wimpy thing. Weird.
That pro pedal is such a step up, man. That thing is nice.
It's like, it's solid metal. Yeah. Like, you can beat it.
Dude, it was so much, and I think that lends a lot of credibility to maybe my enjoyment. Just because it was, the pro stuff is so well designed. Mm-hmm. I wished I would have experimented more with guitar, because the bass has it too, but I don't see a reason of going high on the neck fret with the bass. But with guitar, if you're in a solo, I would have loved to kick that down.
That,
get really into that shit and just wail on it.
It's a hard transition though, like, because you do that, and then usually the solo ends, and like within less than a second, you have to be back up to the top. It's hard going back, and it can fuck you up. But one of the things I didn't bring, you're talking about like the drum kit and like all the improvements. I have a second pedal packed somewhere in my closet, but you can plug that in. And then it acts as like the cymbal.
The hi-hat?
The hi-hat, where it goes up and down.
See, I would've loved
that.
So you
can do a hi-hat kick and then the actual kick pedal. It's even more complex, but I think last night with the lag, it would've just been
something else. But
that is also something else that you can do.
I really liked it, man. It's a perfect party game. Mm-hmm. Again, because anybody can play that game and have fun doing it.
Yeah.
Much more than like, a lot of people like the dance games.
Yeah.
But I feel like
I've never gotten into them.
I haven't either, because I feel silly with those. Mm-hmm. Like, again, because it's not so involved.
We're talking about the Just Dance games, right?
Just Dance or...
Or Dance Dance Revolution.
No, those are different.
Okay, because I am into those. Yeah, I still like might those. Have a dance pad in my apartment.
Yeah, but those are more rhythm-based. The other ones that you had said, where you follow on-screen movements, they make me feel too silly, and generally it's refined to like one to two people, and then everybody else is watching you, whereas with Rock Band, there were times where there were, five, six, eight of us?
Seven at most, but that's not counting for people in the back singing too along with it and having fun.
And everybody gets, and especially like when a big song hits, people are like, oh shit, they're doing this song, people get into it, and as silly as it is, man, you do get a bit of a rock star vibe when you're going into it. I mean, I was dancing all around, playing guitar, shaking my head.
Yeah.
Me and Jess did a back-to-back sort of solo thing at one point. Yeah, that was really cool. I can't get over the fun aspect. It is a perfect fun game.
Yeah, this is why it is in my top five, because it's a fun game that I can bring everywhere and we'll have fun, but it's hard when you put it up to like Metal Gear Solid and Final Fantasy VII, because there is games as art and story and narrative and all, there's none of that.
No, but
Rock
this
Band.
Is game as
it
game.
Is gamey. Yeah. Yeah, it's
and
very
it,
gamey.
And it's perfect. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would ever put it in a top five list. Mm-hmm. unlike you, but
yeah,
it is definitely should be included in almost anything. I mean, it is a game. It is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, I think when I was a freshman and I was in marching band, I remember one of the other drumline members would give me shit all the time because I played video games, and he's like, why the fuck do you waste your time on that bullshit? And I was like, you know, maybe someday I'll make a game where you're like, you know, you play music and you've got instruments to plug in. And he's like, that's fucking stupid. And then it happened like 5 years later, and I was like, yeah, you know what? Where the fuck are you? Fuck you. This did happen, and it made somebody billions of dollars.
Yeah.
I could have done it, but you tried to shit on my dreams, so fuck you. And I'll go and name him because he'll never listen. Fuck you, Bryson.
There is a...
Fuck you, man. You head up your ass, douchebag.
Sign of recognition and approval.
Yeah.
Maybe a middle finger.
Yeah, there's totally a middle finger.
All right, there we go.
Sound engineer Andy knows. He's a total D-bag. Shitting on my dreams. I could have been a billionaire making plastic instruments and doing rock star stuff. No.
I'm glad you touched on the rock star aspect, though, because that's one of the issues or one of the criticisms this series gets. Is like, just play a fucking instrument at this point. Like, what's the point? And it's like, not everybody has the time to devote to that. And I'm not one of those people. I'm not exceptionally gifted at music. Like, I've tried to play guitar. I've done saxophone and band. Like, I've done stuff. I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
So, like, I play this game. Like, you said I was doing, like, 95 and expert.
Yeah, you were
like,
the complete
or hards and stuff.
Opposite. Yeah, you were like, killing
really,
it at this.
Like, I love this game. I put so many hours into it. But it's not like, I have no delusions that, like, oh my God, I'm like a rock star,
no,
savant or whatever.
You can tap into that and feel it during a big party like that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it get like on a more base level, it just gives you a better appreciation. Like there's stuff in this game that I would have never listened to, like Echo and the Bunnymen, Killing Moon. Like first time I ever heard it in a rock band, and like immediately I was like, I gotta fucking hear more about this.
Yeah.
Like Echo and the Bunnymen's great. And, like, I hear, like, all these weird bands that come up, like, that I'm super into now because of Rock Band. Wolfmother.
Yeah,
I'm into Wolfmother because of Guitar Hero.
That was one of my favorite things about Guitar Hero 1 and 2 was when, after you unlocked all the regular songs, all the people that developed
the
games.
The harmonics bands.
Yeah, all the harmonics people that were involved in it, they had side bands, and you got to hear all their stuff. And I discovered a couple of those bands through that.
They are also in Rock Band as well.
Really?
There are a bunch of harmonics bands.
Wow, I would have played those. Because was it the same songs from Guitar Hero 1 and 2?
Some of them are.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them from Guitar Hero 2 made it over, and then a bunch of other ones from the same bands, too.
See, Guitar Hero 2, I played that more than anything. I played the fuck out of that game. And
if
that's,
Rock Band never existed, that would have been it.
Yeah.
That would have had to have been my top five.
And that's where I got, at that point, I dabbled into the hard.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't ever really make it to expert on anything, but
I think it hit me at the exact right place because I was in a college dorm at the time, maybe freshman, maybe sophomore, I don't remember. But there were four people who were like hardcore into it, and we all started off on easy. And then we all kind of went to medium at the same time. So it was like this almost leaderboard fight.
Okay, I get
so
into
it
that.
Kept pushing me like, I'm going to be the first one that beats fucking Freebird and Expert. Like, and we got into, like, this back and forth where you're like, I got, like, 80% through Freebird. Where are you at? And, like, we went back and forth until, like, one of us did it. It wasn't me.
Okay.
I wasn't the one who won. I was second.
That's awesome. There's this game. Are you familiar with Tetris Attack?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a variation called Pokemon... I can't think of the name now.
Oh.
It's Tetris Attack with a Pokemon skin.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't know the name of it.
That's Pokemon. I had it 2 seconds ago before I started talking about it. That goes figures. Anyways, a buddy and me have a very long time rivalry on that game. I have it for Wii U.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll play versus mode. We don't do it as much anymore. We used to do it a whole lot, and we need to get back into it just occasionally because it's fun. But we had the same situation where we were both playing on the 5 difficulty, which is pretty much in the middle. And as you lower the difficulties, the things come faster.
Okay.
And then one day he's like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to play on 4. And I was like, well, shit, I got to play on 4 or else if he loses, he's like, well, I was on 4. So I like that idea of pushing. It's a dick sort of, you know, it's good friendship, but it's like, hey, fuck you. I'm doing it this way. And it's like, well, if I don't, then I can't brag. And
that's what did it.
With any competition, you got to have the equal bragging ground. So I like that aspect.
So I went into Rock Band, expert guitar, and then drums. I was like, the fuck is this? And I started on easy. Yeah. I was like, well, I can't be expert on guitar and not on drums. So that's what the push was in Rock Band. So
did you ever play Guitar Hero 3?
I did, and I have it. I played all of the Guitar Heroes.
What's your percentage expert on Dragon Force?
Through the Fire and Flames?
Yeah.
I can do very, very well outside of that opening. That opening really? Is really rough. Everything else, I can do like 85, 90%.
Have you ever seen somebody 100% on YouTube?
Yes.
That's so insane.
Yeah,
Because that's like a little boy or little girl
who was doing at the age of 6 or 7.
I saw some like college age kid do it on Expert.
Fucking tight.
There's a lot of them out there that can do it. I mean, it is incredibly hard.
Yeah. That song also is on Rock Band as well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I didn't notice,
yeah,
man.
We passed it, but yeah, that was also there.
That would have been fun to play. Especially if it was synced up, I'd have played the shit out of those drums.
No, man, I would have enjoyed that guitar if it was synced up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Damn. So maybe we will try again, and maybe we'll change TVs, because Casey has a different TV in his bedroom, and maybe with a little more pre-planning. I think had we not done what we'd done earlier in the day, and you and I could have been there by ourselves and really got that set up.
We did a lot. We had a very productive day yesterday.
It was a good day, but we were busy up until the very point of the party starting.
Yeah.
So we didn't really get a chance, and I didn't expect it to be an issue, especially once you had told me that there was like an auto thing, and I was like, oh, great.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you think that?
Yeah.
And especially because it's never failed you anywhere else. It's unfortunate that that's the way it played out, because I feel last night could have been even more epic had it not. So, but other than that, you know, I don't really have much else to say. There's no story, really, I guess.
None.
I mean, there is the bare bones, like, oh, it's a rock band forming. They go on and they get humongous, like every other Guitar Hero rock band
game. It's even less than that. Like, they really don't focus on the story.
Because who cares? You're there to play the fucking games.
There's a career mode, but you just go to a venue that looks like every other venue and you play songs.
Yep.
That's it.
And it's got camera angle sweeping of you looking cool as an avatar.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I totally get it. It was well worth it. It was a lot of fun. Again, I wouldn't put it on my list. I can totally see why it's on your list, especially now knowing its relation to your college days.
Yeah, and
playing
part of it.
Yeah, and playing it a lot there. I can see the big nostalgia effect of it too. So
yeah, and I mean, they keep putting out a DLC. Like, I just bought a U2 pack like 2 weeks
why
ago.
Why did you buy U2?
Because I love U2.
Oh my god.
How Pride have we not gone through in the this? Name of love.
Oh my god.
Like, playing on guitar is amazing.
Andrew and I are both a little perturbed at this right now.
U2 is fantastic.
Oh.
If it makes you feel better, I also bought
I would say
what else is embarrassing that I bought on there?
I don't know what anything that could be worse than U2. I would say instead of fantastic, U2 is ass-tastic.
Right?
High five, sound guy.
uncalled for.
Wow.
Bono's a humanitarian.
Bono's a turd.
Really? I think the Edge is a turd.
Check it out. I want to write the Edge's next guitar part. Yeah, that's every fucking U2 guitar part. And throw some reverb on that shit. Oh, mind blown. Such an ass. I'm sorry. Why are you my friend?
So let's end this Rock Band podcast talking about how shit U2 is.
You like them.
Anyway, my only point was that they're still releasing content.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy.
10 years? Six? No, it can't have been 10 years.
No.
It's maybe like 70 years or so. But they've been doing this for a long time and they're still putting out content. It's awesome.
That's kudos to them. Mm-hmm. So great choice, man. Had a blast. Can't wait to do it. And we will be doing something else party-wise coming up. I think we have some ideas, so it'll be a good time. But in the meantime, you know, pretty short and sweet episode this week on that. I mean, there's not a lot of depth to it We had fun. If you haven't played it, take it to your family. Your family will love it. Take it to some friends. If you own it, break it the fuck back out. Dust it off, you know?
Yeah.
Get back into it. It is.
Give
it
your
still
plastic
holds up.
Instruments some love.
Yeah, it still holds up.
For 99 cents today, you can give these plastic instruments some joy in their lives by playing them, rubbing your fingers on them.
And on that note, you know, anyways, thank you. Ryan, you want to give out our contacts?
Yes, we are The Experience Grind. You can find us at facebook.com/experiencegrind. We are almost at 100 likes. Please like our page. If you listen, like our page. Comment on our stuff. We really just want to keep growing the website, keep building up our community. We want to hear back from you. We want your opinions, your feedback. So let us know. You can also find Kyle at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast, where he is doing some fantastic stuff. Kyle, do you want to give a brief overview of some of the things you've been doing on Twitter?
Just, trying to reach out, hopefully, as we have talked about, maybe set up somewhat of a serious sponsorship. Did all that through the magic of Twitter, reaching out and just finding a lot of cool new people. I've connected with a guy that draws or writes comics and has somebody that draws them, and their artwork is fantastic. I feel like an ass because he kind of put me on the spot. I don't remember the name of the comic.
Oh, no.
But it's good. Actually, give me 1 second. I will look this up because this guy is pretty fucking awesome.
And then we can just edit it in.
Yeah.
We'll pretend like that mess up didn't happen. So you can just, when you find it out, just come back like I asked you, like, what's been going on in the Twitter sphere?
What is it? Oh, I remember his name.
What have you been twiddling?
Alright, it's... What the fuck is it? Come on. I'm at his page. I feel terrible. He's at a comic convention right now. There's him getting a high five from Blue Beetle.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, right? And that's his artist that drew that? Yeah, that's
fucking
cool.
Well, more so I love Booster Gold, who is with Blue Beetle often, but...
Or maybe that was Booster Gold.
That might have been Booster Gold.
I feel terrible.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
I'm sorry, Paul Korn. It's Paul Korn! That's... I can't remember the name of your comic. I'm so sorry. Because it actually is really good. I'm just a little too deep into the Andre right now to give it proper consideration.
I stopped drinking an hour ago.
I did not. So we'll give you so proper. I'll give you proper shout out next episode. I promise you. The one thing I'd like to plug again, if you're into it, we have a brand new, very recent edition. We are on Twitch now, and we will be streaming, hopefully, a lot more heavily. Ryan and I together, or especially just me, I will try to do a lot more streaming of anything that I play. We are planning a hardcore Diablo 3 run in the very near future. I'd also like to get into, you don't have it, and I think I'm going to pick it up for you.
Oh.
Saints Row the Third.
I do have it. Oh, not PC. For the PC. No, I don't have it on PC.
And we can play that entire thing co-op, and I think that would be fun as hell.
I love that game.
Yeah, I do too, man.
Okay.
Casey and I played through it co-op, and it was some of the most fun I've had doing anything. I did not like 4.
I liked it. It's not as good.
It's not as good at all. But
the,
3...
The story is kind of garbage, but I really enjoyed the jump mechanic and finding those orbs, like Crackdown. Like, that gets my primal brain loop.
What I didn't like was the world design, how it's so fucking dark because you're in that computer.
It is.
It's so blah.
Yeah,
it's,
I agree with that.
And Saints Row the Third is bright and colorful and exciting.
It
and
is. One of my favorite moments in any games is you parachuting
down. Oh my
down
god, and they play in that Kanye?
Power.
God damn,
my
that's so
fucking
good.
God, it is.
Yeah, it's so good, dude.
Especially if you're like a fat, naked, African-American woman.
No.
Which I am in Saints Row the Third.
I'm always myself, but I'm naked, and I'm in a cross-dress in woman's high-heel, like, dominatrix boots.
Nice.
And that's all I wear, but I'm fully naked.
Yeah,
and I've got, but it's me and my beard and my hair.
You can't not be naked in Saints Row 3.
Oh, fucking A. You can't. It's the best, and I do the whole game that way, and it's amazing. So we will be doing that, so look out for that. We'll start tweeting it and Facebooking when we are streaming. So follow us on there. We are Experience Grind. It's pretty simple. Twitch.tv/Experience Grind.
Yeah.
All one word, no underscore, nothing like that. So
hope to be doing a lot more stuff on there soon.
Yep. And on that note, thank you very much, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.